This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients.
So, Brie, I remember this one time I was in a bike race around Tucson, and I wasn't paying attention. We were riding down 4th Avenue, and there's railroad tracks, like streetcar tracks, and my bike's tire like went and wedged in to the railroad tracks,
no!
And I totally fell down and just like skinned my hands, everything. Ugh. I had nothing with me, nothing at all. And it's that times where you want a first aid product and you have nothing. And Active Skin Repair utilizes a molecule called hypochlorous acid. When applied to the skin, the molecule works by mimicking the natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. I've used it on my son's mosquito bites, and I wish I would have had it the time I totally scraped up my hands.
Oh, I hear you. Like whenever I go paddleboarding, kayaking, I'm always trying to find something that is like an all-in-one that I can take with me. And Active Skin Repair could be used like that. It can be used to treat cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, and other types of skin damage. It's also safe and non-toxic, which makes it suitable for all skin types, all parts of the body, like eczema, and acne-prone skin, all of that.
With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients so safe and clean they can be used from the youngest member of the family to the oldest, you now have one simple solution for all of your family's skin health needs. Visit www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and to get 20% off your order. Use code NOGUILT. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by my co-host, Brie Tucker.
Well, hello, hello, buddy. How are you?
We're actually recording this one, the video, which we usually don't do for our podcast episodes.
It's new technology
and just decided to do it on the fly. So if you go and you go watch our YouTube channel, you can see this video and I have no makeup on and you have lovely red lipstick.
Well, I put on makeup. I didn't do my hair. It's still wet.
It looks gorgeous,
night.
But you have like the punk rock vibe with the purple and the like everything going
Tell
on.
Tell that to my kids.
I will. They don't know. They don't know what's cool.
They don't get it.
Teenagers don't know what's cool. Fact.
I'm on that side of TikTok where the kids make fun of me because I just watch the ones of the parents like text I got from my teenager today.
Oh my gosh. There is this great Instagram account. It's called like Teenager Problems. I think I've shown it to you before. And it's just like little memes and pictures that it's like instructions for life. Take cereal box out of pantry, eat all of cereal, put empty box back in pantry.
Yes, yes, you have shared that one. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate.
Except that's my 9-year-old.
or in our household, that's like, I don't know, Monday morning at 6 a.m. when they have to be at school by 6:30. Mom, where's my breakfast? I asked you 6 times to put stuff on the shopping list. It didn't go. You got nothing.
Yeah.
There's some peanuts in the pantry.
Yeah, my teenager doesn't even eat breakfast. Well, she does, but she's very particular. So lately, and this is great, she's been going shopping, grocery shopping with my husband.
Oh, that helps.
And then she goes and picks out what she wants, and then she has it there, which is wonderful.
That's fantastically helpful. Audrey will be kind of back and forth on whether or not she wants something. And Robert, it's just kind of started getting like kind of back and forth. I don't know. It's too early in the morning. Don't ask me in-depth questions at 6 a.m.
6 a.m. Yeah.
Barely awake.
Do not ask me about breakfast.
You're lucky if I got like a top and pants on besides pajamas.
Exactly.
While I'm driving you to school. So.
Well, today we are talking about these toxic stories that we tell ourselves that make ourselves angry. And I think like dealing with teenagers, I mean, this is something we all need to hear because even dealing with kids, I mean, there are things we say that really amp our emotions to like level 10, where if we are aware of these stories, we can control our emotions a little bit better and bring it back down.
Right. I think that that's a big part. I just had that situation happen over the weekend where I just got amped up really high, really fast. And luckily, I had a good conversation that kind of helped bring me down. I mean, I didn't come all the way down.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can tell yourself these things about how everybody's against you and everybody just wants to make your life a living heck. And it just, it isn't true most
of the time. It isn't true most of the time. And it's really, really hard to realize that. So we have a lot for you in this episode.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
We're going to get into the three toxic stories that you tell yourself that make you angry, because these stories, when you realize you're doing it, oh my gosh. I don't know about you, but whenever I read something like this, and this actually comes from a book called Crucial Communications, which I highly recommend for everybody. But when you realize you're doing this, it not only like, I don't feel a sense of shame. I feel a sense of like connection with other people. Because
tell me more about that.
Well, it's not that I'm doing something wrong. It's like I'm doing something that everybody else does.
Oh.
So I'm not shame and alone. It's more of like, oh, well, other people do this too. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I could work on this.
It makes you realize that like you're not the only one. And it's funny because like we know that. Like logically, we know we're not the only one that struggles with parenting. We're not the only ones that aren't perfect 24/7 because nobody is. But sometimes you do feel like it's like when you get really upset and really angry, it's almost like the whole world fades behind you. And it's like one of those movie scenes and the spotlight comes on and it's just on you.
Well, I think the stories we tell ourselves, it's so important to know. I was having a conversation with my sister-in-law this weekend, and she told me, and we're like at a really great place where we are able to give each other truthful feedback. And we're both pretty self-reflective too. So it's like we take that feedback. But she said that after every conversation with me about parenting, she felt really stressed and she felt really guilty that she wasn't like doing things right.
Right.
Or, you know, or like doing things the right way and she wasn't a good parent. And it's so interesting she brought that up because I feel that way too. When I look online, when I look at other Instagrammers, when I look at like parenting experts, I feel that way too. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're doing it this way. Oh, that's so horrible that I haven't thought of that. I am obviously not qualified to be a great mom. I'm not qualified to tell other people what to do. All of these things run through my mind and none of it's true. It's not true. It's just a story.
It is. And that story can like just go off the rails so many times. So I can tell you every week I have that same thought process, especially being divorced and co-parenting. Like every moment of everything, I'm constantly questioning whether or not I'm doing it right, whether or not I could have done it better, or I go back and I look back on things and I'm like, oh, I really screwed that up, you know, but they're toxic. They will eat you alive if you let them.
But it's really great though to know that they are stories. I was having a conversation with somebody close to me who told me that yelling and emotions, when you yell, the truth comes out. And I'm like, no,
that's not true. That comes out. It's the
yes,
the little petty voice inside you for a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
It's your survival instinct that comes out when you get angry. It's like that monkey throwing things in the corner.
You're flinging poop at people.
You're flinging poop at people. And I mean, that's really how it feels when you're on the other side of that anger.
Yeah.
Like anger and emotions and yelling, that is not your true self. That is not what you are inside. That is something inside of you that is so threatened and is trying to save itself. That's coming out. And a lot of the times it feels threatened is because our brains are so used to telling us these things, which we then think are true. And then we try to protect ourselves against it. But what if they're not true?
Well, because they aren't true.
Yeah, they're not. They're not like, true.
They're not true. So, yeah.
So we're going to talk about these. And there are three types of stories that we usually tell ourselves that tend to get us really, really angry. The first one is the villain story.
Oh, I'm good at this one.
Yeah? Okay, tell me about the villain story.
Well, okay, so this is the one where like – oh, wait, hold on. Nope. When you said villain story, I thought it was the whole I'm a terrible person.
Oh, no, that's the second one.
That's not that one. I'm reading our notes and I'm like, oh, no, that's not me.
No, the villain stories. The villain stories are the people – you blame other people for everything that happens to you. It's always their fault.
And we all know villains – if you are a person who can see when you are being a villain, mm-hmm. that's awesome. Because mm-hmm. again, like none of us are perfect. We all have times where we don't take responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then later, hopefully through reflection, we realize that. But I mean, we also all know people that were just like, oh my gosh, that person, it's never their fault. It's always everybody else's.
Oh yeah. I know some people like that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But these villain stories are where you don't accept any personal responsibility for your actions. It's always the world out to get you. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you feel this way right now, if you feel the world is out to get you, really take a moment and think, okay, am I telling myself a villain story? Am I not looking at my contribution to the issue?
Right. Because that's the big thing that you have to realize. It's not that it's hardly ever one person's actions that are 100% mm-hmm. to blame for the outcomes. There's always contributions.
There's always contributions.
Always. Always.
Even in situations where, like, when somebody gets explosively mad at you, you can always look back and be like, okay, well, their reaction didn't make sense. And something I really like to ask myself is, why would a logical, sensible person act this way? Like if somebody does something that I'm like, they're insane, they're crazy, like why would a logical, sensible person act this way? And that usually gets my brain thinking in a different direction. And I'm like, well,
I would immediately go to, they're hangry.
They're hangry. They could be hangry. They could feel really threatened. They could perceive something as a threat that I'm not perceiving as a threat right now. There could be some unresolved issues going on between the two of us that they haven't talked about yet. And they're exploding something else on me instead.
Or unresolved issues with other people projecting onto you.
They could be projecting onto me as well.
Yeah, so there's, or the other great part too is the whole, you're the safe one.
Yes.
You're the one that I feel like I can unload on 100% even when I know it's not you, because you're the one that makes me feel safe. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're never going to run away forever. Mm-hmm. So.
Hey, all. It is Joanne.
And Brie here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes. From the creators of the hit kids podcast Who Smarted and Netflix's Brainchild comes the adventurous world of Mysteries About True Histories, affectionately known as Math.
Every episode follows Max and Molly. I gotta say, love the name Max. That's my puppy dog's name. Who have just recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs. It actually makes learning pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, I listened to this with my son, and it was so fun to listen to. I loved how modern it was with a cool aunt that they really dug, and like they dealt with bullies. My son also enjoyed all the math involved. Like, he thought it was really cool.
Well, and I have to say, I love anything that brings learning and fun together for kids. I really, really wish that something like this was around for my teens when they were younger. We would have absolutely devoured this on our car trips. It would have been amazing. It's perfect for kids ages 6 and up, and new episodes drop every Thursday.
So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. I hear some parenting stories about telling the villain story with kids. It's they're just, you know, I was having a good morning and they just came down and were so loud and they just ruined everything. Like, it's always them. They need to change. And that's really an indication of a villain story, because when we tell ourselves the villain story again, we're not taking personal responsibility or acknowledging our contribution.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say there's a difference between, well, at least I hope there is a difference between your kids coming down and you being, oh my gosh, Johnny was just in a crappy mood today and was picking on his brother for absolutely no reason. He made everything awful today. That is not saying that you're a villain all the time.
No.
You're making a villain story of that one instance. It doesn't mean that you are maleficent going forward.
Yeah. The hard part with villain stories is that it does make us feel out of control of the situation. And it takes us from this place where we could take steps forward to fix it.
You're right.
But in the villain story, we can't do anything because it's all their fault.
Right, right.
They have to
no
change.
Control. You have no control. It's one of the, I would say it's probably one of the most scary situations to be in, because again, you feel like you have no control.
Yeah. And there are actual, like, sometimes there are villains in the world. But I mean, usually they're not in our family or in our close relationships. There's usually something we could do.
Hopefully not. Yeah.
The second story is the victim story. The victim story. And this, like, differs a little bit from the villain story, because instead of seeing that one person, other people are all at fault, you're kind of saying, like, the world's against you. Your circumstances are against you. There is nothing that you can do to get out of this situation because of X, Y, and Z. And the victim story is very, very, like, you see it a lot.
Okay, I'm sitting here in my head, and I don't know if anybody else in podcast land is, because this is my first time seeing the outline of the episode. Victim story sounds very much like villain, because it's all out of your control.
It does, but villain is more like villainizing another person, while victim is looking at your circumstances.
Okay, so like, and saying, I can never get better.
Mm-hmm, I can never get better.
There's just, it's more of a, like, a, it's, let's just give, why try, just give up.
Why, yeah. Why exactly. Try? You're the victim of your circumstances. And sometimes, like, there are actual victims in the world. Like, there are. But in our day-to-day life, we are usually not a complete victim. We have more control than we realize.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to when you're looking at, like, your role as a parent. Like, in your role as a parent, you pretty much always have some control over something. So being a complete victim is not...
Victim
not,
usually
normally not true.
Yeah, it shows up when we overwhelm.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking, like, when you're overwhelmed, then you can't take anymore.
Yes. And you're like, I have just too much to do. There is nothing that's going to change it. And then you find your emotions just go sky high because you feel helpless in the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, both of these stories are all about helplessness. All three of these stories are about helplessness. It's just how you react to that helplessness. With a villain, you might lash out towards your villain if you're...
Have
a villain story. You might get really mad at them.
Yeah.
With the victim, you might...
Go down and cry.
Come in on yourself.
Yeah.
If you're telling yourself that story. But it's all about helplessness. I mean, sometimes I look at myself as the victim when I'm like, oh my gosh, my husband isn't home yet. The kids want food. I'm hungry. I'm trying to run a business. I can't concentrate on things. Oh, woe is me. And I mean, obviously, it's a lot more intense than that, but those are the kind of moods I get into. And then, like, everything frustrates me and I get so snippy and angry because I don't feel in control of my situation.
And that's what makes it toxic.
Yes.
And that's what makes it toxic, because it takes over you. It takes over your personality, your mood. And I kind of, like, I don't know why I keep going back to movies right now, but it kind of makes me think about the whole, what was that Spider-Man movie with the black, like, the black Spider-Man.
He
eats up Spider-Man and makes him into a bad guy.
Is that in the multiverse? Like the Spider-Man in the multiverse? Or Venom? Is it Venom?
Venom, yes.
Oh, see, I bet Black
Spider-Man. Isn't it Venom? But Venom was like a black Spider-Man.
I don't know that there those a, ones. I don't know one, those characters.
There was one movie where, like, it became black and he was a bad guy.
Anyways, the bad Spider. We'll call him Bad Spider-Man.
You can tell that Brie is not the best at keeping up on her superhero movies. But yeah, it's like Venom. Like, you just, it comes over and it just consumes you. And then everything is just helplessness. And you, like you said, you get tired, you get snippy, and you just don't, you're not able to think clearly in those situations. You're not able to use as easily your self-regulation skills. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
It's harder to get to them when you're in that in that spot of, I just want to give up. Everything is awful.
No.
And I think that that's a big one that like a lot of us get, like you said, in stressful situations. Like I think as a divorced mom, a co-parent, there's plenty of times where I am beating myself up in this whole victim story of like, if this hadn't happened, we'd be in a better place here. Or it just telling yourself that you don't have control over things because of what has happened before.
Yeah. And it's a hard thing to get into because we tend to get into the negativity loop and the spiral mm-hmm. from there, telling ourselves victim stories.
All the things that we did wrong, mm-hmm. all the things that we're not doing right. And then it just spirals into, well, you're just a crappy person. And then on top of that, you're a crappy mom. And it's, yeah.
They come really easily after those. Yeah.
It just goes, it's a little snowball of just crap piling on one another.
Crap piling. I'm seeing a crap tornado. It's not a good vision. I'm going to take that vision out of my head.
I'm seeing like an avalanche of poo. Or like a snowball of poo.
We hope that we're giving you really great imagery right now. Really great. But like something I've found that takes me out of the victim story that I've been using recently is at the end of my day, I never write down the stuff that went wrong so much as I write down what I learned from it. Because every situation, like you can always take something that you learn from it that you won't do next time, or that you can change for the better, or that maybe gave you like greater insight into something that happened. So it's really like turning the victim stories into positive stories. And I'm trying to think of an example right now about that, but it's failing me.
Okay.
I can think of stuff in business where a launch didn't go as expected and I could go back and be like, yeah, it didn't. But like we found out we forgot this and this and it's okay because next time we'll put this in place and it'll be okay. Or with kids, if we go somewhere, for example,
how about the basketball story?
The basketball, the
from
noise?
A couple years ago, like the basketball story, like oh. Couldn't do basketball.
Oh, yeah. Like my son went in and to YMCA basketball and first time there and he refused to get off the bench and even try it. And I was so embarrassed at the time. I just sat with him at like for 45 minutes. But after looking at that situation, I realized that that place was super, super loud. And it was one of the things that after looking at his past experiences, I'm like, he really has some sensory overload that goes on. He's very sensitive to sound. And we've been talking with him about it and finding ways around it so much so. It's funny that this just happened 2 weeks ago. We went to a football game and usually he wants to leave the football game at halftime because he's just overwhelmed. And this time I'm like, hey, why don't we go to CVS and we get you some earplugs and we could just see how that works. He's like, okay, it's not going to work. And then he goes to the football game and he's here and he's just chilling with us. Like he's normal. It's like nothing happened. And I asked him, oh, the earplugs working, bud? He's like, oh, they're not really making a difference, but we can like stay till the end.
and
I'm like, aha. Okay. And at the end of the game, one of his earplugs fell out and he's like, whoa. And he actually said that he's like, it is so loud here. And he put it back in and I'm like, okay, we found something to solve the situation. And it's all because instead of looking at a victim of circumstances, yeah. of like my son not trying things or even like the environment's just too loud and we just can't go places anymore because it's just too loud.
Yep.
You switch it around. You're like, well, what can I do to deal with this situation? And what can I do to find a solution around it? And we found earplugs and it worked really well.
I love that one.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Okay, so let's talk about the third story, the third toxic story.
The helpless story.
The helpless story.
Okay, this one is so interesting. It is when we try to predict future events and we based our present actions to kind of eliminate those future events from happening.
That is 100% Brian. You know that one. That is me, like flashy lights.
It's like saying that, okay, my kids, I always go to the dishwasher. If you know me, I'm always about the dishwasher. It's tragic, like hurt from my past, I guess.
trauma from the dishwasher.
But say your kids need to load the dishwasher later on in the evening, and you're like, I need to remind them to load the dishwasher right now. And if I don't remind them, the dishwasher won't get unloaded, and then I won't have clean dishes. And this is what I have to do, and nothing else will solve the problem.
And we'll end up in a van down by the river.
End up in the van down by the river. But I'm basing my reminding of my kids that I have to do it, else it won't happen. And that is a helpless story because you're not really letting things unfold as they do. You're trying to predict the future and saying like, well, it doesn't matter because if I let it go, other things will happen and it's not even worth trying.
Now, I am going to say this. I do think that there is a difference between environmental engineering and the helpless story.
Okay.
So I do think that in some cases we do environmental engineering as parents, and that's where like we try to set up an environment that's going to allow for everybody to be as successful as possible. Mm-hmm. So an example of that, of the environmental engineering would be what you were just talking about with your son with the earplugs. Mm-hmm. It's too loud at the game. He doesn't do well. We don't get to end up staying to see his sister, you know, perform. So let's come up with something that we can do to engineer the environment to mm-hmm. be more positive for everybody. That's different than everything's going to go to hell if I don't fix everything right now.
There is a very big difference in
that. So I just wanted to be clear on that because I think sometimes some people might be like, oh, so I can't do anything. Well, no, you can. When you try to control everything, you're going to control nothing except for giving yourself a migraine.
Yeah.
Stress and feeling completely overwhelmed and feeling like it's all on your shoulders.
Yeah.
And because you're the only one that can tell the future.
And to bring it back to like the football game thing, that was joint problem solving between me and my son. Like we had tried a lot of things between there. And it's actually the process that we teach in Calm and Happy Parenting about talking with each other and trying solutions. And that was like the third solution that we tried that actually worked. So sometimes when you do that environmental engineering, when you try to solve a problem with your family, it takes a while.
Yeah.
But we want to get into that problem solving mindset versus the, I have to yell else nothing will get done.
True. Yes.
That's the helpless. Like I have to do this else this will happen in the future.
I know my big thing is that the helpless story that I tell myself all the time that applies to my family is that I'm the one who has to make sure that everybody stays on schedule because I feel like if I don't do that, everything's going to fall apart. And it puts a lot of stress on me. And luckily and unluckily, I fall into that all the time. So I don't know about anybody else if you can resonate with any of these stories and you're like, this is me sometimes, this is me occasionally, but this is definitely me, Brie, all the time. And I really need some different ways to kind of like reframe it and to work past it, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. But a big thing that helps is just being open when someone's like, hey, we've got this.
Or we've got this, yeah.
You're doing a bit much. And not taking that as a strike against me and saying that I suck even more, but as someone being like, hey, I promise you don't have to do it all.
Yeah.
So
coming in and being like, yes, And accepting the help. We all need help accepting the help.
I know,
why
right?
do we have such a hard time?
That is definitely a hard one for sure.
Oh my gosh. I think I did it just the other day because my husband asked me, like, he makes cold brew for us. He goes and gets bags of beans and he makes the cold brew. And he drinks a lot of coffee, like much more than I do. He has a mug of cold brew and then he goes to our favorite coffee shop, Peixoto, and has like an espresso there. And then he has a coffee. Anyways. Lots of caffeine. But
and we wonder why he doesn't sleep a lot.
He's sleeping more these days, okay. actually. He asked me, he's like, oh, there's only a little cold brew left. Like, do you want to take this or can I take it? And I had a busy morning. I knew I would have to go out and get my coffee because I like coffee in the morning. And I still said, no, you take it.
It's the peach. It's the peach story.
It's the peach story.
If you've listened to our podcast, you've heard us talk about the peach story. Like there's a peach, and as a mom, we're like, oh, I'm gonna give this to somebody else mm-hmm. in my family. They would love it. And then in that case, in the same scenario, the dad walks in, sees the peach, and goes, oh, I'm gonna put this in my smoothie today. It'll be delicious. Yeah. And it's not saying that one person is being selfish. It's just saying how we look at things differently. So yeah.
Yeah. I realized I did it right, like maybe 5 minutes after. And I'm like, what did you do, Joanne?
You gave away the peach.
What did you do? I mean, it was all fine. It was a very little example of that. But
it happens.
But it happens
all the time.
And it's great when you're aware of it because sometimes, though, I can catch myself when I'm doing it. And I'm like, wait a minute. No.
I will say that's probably one of the best things is having that ability to step back, listen to somebody say something and not take it as a personal attack. That's the thing that helps me the most move through the toxic story and come back to where I want to be.
Oh, you know what? I love that you brought that up because I would agree that's me too. Lately, just through knowing more of these communication things and knowing these strategies and knowing what's going on in my head, I'm not taking things so personally anymore. A lot of people can say something to me and I'll be like, is there fact there or are they being a jerk?
Yeah.
And I don't take it like before I'd be like, I'm the most horrible person in the world. And sometimes, you know, that's still there. I still do that. And I have to really, really fight that aggressively.
That's human nature.
Yeah.
I think.
But
you're a narcissist.
Yeah. Unless you're a narcissist.
And then never mind. Not going to go. That's a whole other episode.
Whole other episode about narcissism. But I fight it and I'm able to get through it. So
yeah, it's really – so that's a big thing to do is just to hear that – to first identify that you have these toxic stories that you may be telling yourself that might be pulling you down really, really low. And then just being able to be open to understanding or so open to people saying to you or trying to help you with it.
So those are the three toxic stories that people most often tell themselves. The villain story – the victim story, and the helpless story. So if you have seen yourself in one of these stories.
Or even all three.
Or even all three
of them.
You can
move between them.
Yeah.
We can.
And usually you can see yourself in many of them. Because I see myself in so many.
Yeah. But the best way you can move past them is by being open. Like you said, first understanding that they exist.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that they aren't necessarily true and that they're not helpful.
They're not helpful. They're
toxic. They are the what's it called again? I'm thinking of the black Spider-Man again. But that's not what it was. What's he called again?
Venom?
Venom, yes. Okay. Venom.
It's Venom.
I suck at this.
We got to get you up on some Marvel. I don't even know that one though. Like I haven't seen Venom. Those trailers scared the bejesus out of me that I'm like,
they aren't
no.
Never watched any of those movies. They're a bit much for me.
Oh no.
So now that you know those three toxic stories
mm-hmm.
and now you know that just by being aware of them, you can pull yourself out of those stories and to do more positive things to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be able to fight against these toxic stories.
Yeah. And it's going to help you stay calmer in the moment. It's going to help your relationship with your parenting partner and with everybody else in your life. Because all of these things we do as a parent, it's all about relationships and it helps all of our relationships.
Yes, it does.
All of them. So until next time, remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. And we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, Hey, are you a parent of a teenager? Are you feeling overwhelmed about how to be what they need while also holding limits and boundaries that keep them safe? Are you tired of conversations that negate how messy this season of parenting is? Well, I've got you. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I am a positive discipline trainer, parent coach, and the host of the Joyful Courage podcast. Every week, I come to you with an interview, digging into tough topics with experts I trust and solo shows that go deep into the personal growth and mindset needed to raise teens in a way that grows them into confident, capable young people. I am not afraid of getting real about the intersection of conscious parenting and the teen years, while also bringing in vulnerability, humor, and lightness. I'm walking the path with you and honored to serve. Listen to Joyful Courage on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts.